Where is Dr. Venture?
Don't worry, I found him. He's right here. And he wants to talk to you, too.
Oh, hello, Rusty!
No, Dr. Venture. It's Mother.
You're looking well. Enjoying your new life below ground?
No, Dr. Venture. We have much to talk about.
Ha! Good! Because today, I'd like to talk to you about personal hygiene.
Oh, okay.
Hi! Welcome to Venture Bros, a Venture Brothers podcast. With me, your host, as always, Brian Dressel. With me, as always, is Graham Orange Mason.
Could have sworn you were going for pineapple this time.
Yeah, no, it didn't feel like a pineapple day.
Oh, okay. Hi, I'm here. I'm an orange.
And we have Nick Peach Friedman.
Don't call me an apricot.
Or a nectarine.
I was thinking God, nectarine, no. But I couldn't remember the back half of the word.
You just had necked?
All I had was neck. Good. I was like, there's a fruit
you know, that
starts with
that
neck.
Necked fruit.
Necked peach. Nah, that's not right.
Yeah, and you know, the whole not trying to think of anything before it comes out, like before I start recording, really, really should stop doing that.
If you crossbreed a nectarine and an apple, do you get a neck bowl?
I was thinking about a nectricot.
Nectricot.
I was thinking about an apple reen.
Oh, I like it. Apple reen.
Apple reen?
Yeah. Nectarine, apple reen.
Well,
I like it.
So if you put that in a martini, would that be an apple reeny teeny?
Yes, it would.
And that is the natural conclusion to that joke. All right, so this week we are talking about, if you tuned in last week, you will have heard, not our favorite episodes, but we're at the end of it after this. That's good. This week is What Goes Down Must Come Up. What goes down is Rusty, and he must come back up, right?
Yeah, right? On a rocket.
Yeah, full of poo.
Yeah.
if I had to compare the last 2 weeks, I would say this one is about the same.
Yeah, I was waiting to see, like, this one's better or worse. And it was like, as I was trying to fill in your answer, I was like, no, same.
Here's the thing.
Same.
There is a guy in this episode that whenever I watch it, and I watch this one more than I watched last week's, whenever I watch this episode, I'm like, that guy's just Nick.
Which one? Firestar?
Yes!
I knew it. Our hair is so similar.
It's the hair, and then it's like the mannerisms. Yeah. I feel if you were stuck in the compound underground for years, this would just be you.
100%. Minus maybe the septum piercing, but the outfit and the hair.
Yeah.
I might add that my last boss described my hair as fork in a light socket. Which I loved.
My God, when they enter the room with the guy at the top of the room and the fire starter's doing his dance thing, I'm like, this is just Nick.
It's great. It's accurate.
Oh, it brings me so much joy. Which is the only reason why I like this one a little bit more than last week's. It has nothing to do with the content of the episode. They just didn't know they were putting one of the co-hosts of a podcast that'll come out in 10 years in the episode.
It's weird.
Man, they are forward thinkers over that Venture Brothers show.
Yeah. How do they do it?
I don't know. This one really weirds me out. How are they that smart, right?
I don't know.
So, we should do a very quick rundown of what happens in the episode. Nick, you went last week, wink, wink. Let's see if anyone figures out that joke. Graham, do you want to go this week?
Sure. I'll do a quick something or other.
Are you willing to go this week, should be the question. I don't think want has ever happened from you.
Nope. Want has certainly never happened for me. I'm, as we know, if you know anything about any of our podcasts, I'm not super great at this. So there's that.
Agreed.
So with a little help from my friend Brock, let's go into this. So Dr. Venture and Brock stumble into a labyrinth sub-level of a Venture compound where they enter a shrunken original team Venture member. They encounter a shrunken original team member of Dr. Entman. And then Dr. Venture also meets a group of subterranean dwellers, all who have been trapped in the facility for 30 years. And then Hank and Dean find the Order of the Triad and basically hire them to help find Brock and Dr. Venture. And as you can imagine, craziness ensues, ending up with Dr. Venture coming back to the top land on a rocket full of poo. And yeah, you know, it's good.
I would say that's not your worst one.
Thanks.
Yeah. You've done worse.
Accurate.
So feelings are on the table. I've already kind of made mine out there. Graham, you agree with me, right? Just kind of another episode.
Yeah. Like after watching it, it's definitely, huh, I watched that.
Yeah. What about you, Nick?
Pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Like, I like the last one better. This one doesn't have Brock fighting somebody and screaming in their face, so I don't know. I think that what it is that I actually like Entman. How do you guys feel about him?
Well, he comes back. Like, I actually kind of like Entman.
Yeah.
And I like the running joke of, like, so you're Hank Pym. Like, you're Hank Pym.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You're
like you're a Marvel character who's like a scientist-y guy who's like
Namor?
He's
the size of
what's the other one that he throws out? It's not Namor, obviously. That's DC.
No,
but
that's
like
Hawkeye.
Yeah, Hawkeye.
Favorite.
Oh no, wait.
Namor's Marvel.
Hawkeye's the other one. Namor is Marvel.
Yeah, he's Marvel's Aquaman.
God. Way better than Aquaman.
Sure. We're just gonna let that.
He's all like racist and stuff.
Okay, sure.
Anyways, I like this episode better than the last one. I think it's got good moments, and I feel like is more grounded in more history. I don't know,
but I feel like it's history that doesn't matter. I think that's kind of my biggest thing is like, ooh, we're getting a cool backstory-ish episode. I'm really excited about this. None of this comes back.
Yeah,
like the whole
much.
Like he almost killed Dr. Venture, the original Dr. Venture, Dr. Jonas Venture, almost killed an entire group of children. From what he could tell, did kill an entire group of children because they weren't found again until Resky finds them 20 some years later, and that never comes up again.
I mean, who knows? Maybe, you know, Venture Sr. was really, you know, bummed about it and was just trying to find a good way to get him out.
I guess. No. It doesn't work. That will always eat at me. Like, it's...
Yeah.
He killed a group of children.
But I feel like that's totally him, though. Where it's like, well, that was an experiment. Too bad.
And the one thing... So it's kind of weird because I'm thinking back on some things. I don't want to spoil anything for future episodes, but it's like way in the future at this point. But like, there is a thing where you do get to see the public side of Jonas doesn't hold up.
Right.
Like, when we're looking at him in the last episode with the key party and everything, that's probably him at the peak of his success and power and everything else. I think the kids, who knows when it starts, because it's also kind of like the joy of the show is that who knows when some of these flashbacks actually take place, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But part of it too is that like we do know that the public turns on Jonas. And I think that this could be a thing in the future because it does not seem unfeasible for them to like bring it back. But I agree with you that it does feel kind of like this is a big event, or it should be a big event, and it's just not.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of, it's kind of like with last week's episode, where it's like, here's a new toy box. You can use any of the toys in this box. Nah, we don't want the box. And they did the same thing this week. It's like, yeah. Here's a whole bunch of stuff you can use. Yeah, but all of this is kind of dark. Like, even for our show that gets very dark at times. Like, we had the fucking Joy Can that was made from an orphan. We do some really dark things. But killing a bus of kids and then still having him be a likable guy, like, that just... It feels a little...
I don't think he's supposed... I don't think Jonas is supposed to be likable.
No, but he was liked. Whether or not he is supposed to be likable to us as the audience, to the people there, he was still liked. He was still well-respected. He was a hero.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But if the story
came out... I see what you're saying. You're saying that, like, within the Venture team in particular, that how does this not blow back on
him?
I see. I understand. I thought you were talking about, like, the public at large.
No. I'm talking, like, internal. Like, this is a big fuck-up.
Yeah, but this is also... I mean, they're all... Okay. I agree with you. I will play devil's advocate here very quickly.
Okay.
What is Action Man's first response to... being drugged?
Well, to be fair, that's Action Man's first response to everything.
Yes.
He should not be around children.
No. I don't think he should be around much other living things. But, like, it's a terrible sentence grammatically, but I think you
can. I got it.
But I think that if that's... This is the thing, is I think everybody on that team has done some pretty terrible stuff. Action Man probably being the top of the list. But
you're exactly right. All of them. Colonel Gentleman's not squeaky clean either.
What do you mean? He has such a wonderful marriage with his wife.
Oh, God.
Breezed over that for last week.
Yeah, we really did. But I don't know. There isn't much there that we haven't already talked about with Colonel Gentleman.
Sure.
But I think that the thing is that for that group, they've all done terrible things, and I think that they're kind of okay with, like, that part of it.
Yeah.
Like, they look at it as, like, for the greater good, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Because they have saved a lot of lives.
Yeah.
They have furthered science and a bunch of other stuff, too. And also, during this moment, other than Jonas, everybody was drugged. So they may or may not remember it completely.
Right.
That's true.
And... they abandoned they abandoned Edmund. Like, that's like the introduction to this episode. It's just like, yeah, they just abandoned this guy who they kind of considered their friend.
Does that even come up again?
Not really.
Like, directly with
Edmund
them?
Definitely.
Like, they don't even ever confront him.
He comes back.
Yeah. He comes back. But I was just wondering, like, their interactions with each other. You're like, dude, what the hell?
I think they do some kind of, like, foreshadowy jokes when he does come back in flashbacks, kind of. But I think that mostly he doesn't ever, I don't think, forgive Jonas. Like, that's a constant thing for him. But I think other than that, no, they don't ever address it again.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, we'll find out as we move forward, but I think you're right.
Yeah.
But I think, like, if we're talking season two was the season of, like, pairings, I think season three is more about the tearing down of Jonas, and I think they do it far more subtly than they did with the pairings in season two.
Yeah.
Because they don't really ever fully call him out. Like, it is really left to the viewer to go, wait, he sucks.
Yeah.
Because we got that...
100%.
We got that right in the beginning with the episode where Rusty almost becomes a bad guy. Like, we're just kind of shown that Jonas is a shitbag. And then as the season goes on, whenever we talk about Jonas, it's never positive.
Yeah, exactly.
And before it used to, like, be kind of positive with a wink. It was always positive, like, man, he'd be kind of a shitty dad, but it seems like he's doing everything right. And then as we get further and further along, it's like, no, you're just horrible at this.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
This being... life.
Yes.
Being a human father.
Fatherhood is what he's terrible at. He's pretty great at life. He kicks at his life. If he didn't have a kid, he'd just be the...
But he's terrible at fatherhood. He's terrible at friendship. He's terrible... I mean, like, I mean, let's not go in too far of with the blue morpho, but still. He's not a good person.
No, he's not. He is arguably the biggest villain in the show.
Yeah.
And I think this episode really showcases that. Like, it's kind of jumping back a week when we said that there's not a lot from these episodes that moves forward. That this is, again, kind of what I was talking about with, no, not technically, but this is, I would argue, the worst thing we've seen Jonas do to date.
Yes.
To date.
Absolutely.
Because he abandons a friend and kills a bus of kids and then just moves on with his life.
Yeah.
So, like...
It's a weird thing, too, because it's like... They do have a throwaway line. I'm remembering this correctly, right? They have a throwaway line that kind of explains that he did try and go look for them and they couldn't find them, right?
Yeah, but I'm not sure...
Or maybe I'm making
that up. No, because I remember there was a line about it, but I think it was a joke.
Yeah.
I think it was Brock making a joke. Like, oh, sure, I'm sure he went right back down there to look for everybody.
Yeah, that's true. So I guess he did just, like, abandon the kids. Like, I think it's even worse, to be honest, because I don't think he thinks that they died. I think he thinks that they're just, like, a lost cause.
Yeah, he just writes them off. Like, it's a dark moment for Jonas.
All drugged up in a tunnel. Yeah.
But he got his friends out.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, they got out.
Pretty much.
Except for Ant-Man.
Except for...
All the ones that mattered? I don't know. I mean,
I guess the ones he liked more?
Yeah.
I guess?
The ones that weren't expendable?
My God. Yeah, like, they're... He's not a good guy.
No.
No.
Oy. What else in this episode that we haven't talked about? We haven't really talked Order of Triad at the all, and I think this one's, again, a really important episode for the Order of the Triad.
Yes, and one of my favorite Jefferson... lines.
Oh my. Jefferson being done with the Order of the Triad is probably my favorite time for Jefferson. When he's realizing, no, this is stupid. We're not doing anything we set out to do, and I have no way to help with any of your magic bullshit. Yeah.
Let me check for some blackulas. Nope. None.
Yeah.
I also just love that, like, definitely wasn't blackulas, although I'm not ready to rule out Caucasian vampires. But I love Jefferson Twilight, and I love that, like, when Orpheus comes a knocking, both him and the alchemist are like, no, like, this is too much. Like, you're kind of a pain in the ass. And then since he can't dual project, they just keep getting half the conversation, which is just frustrating them even further.
Well, tell him I said hi.
Give him hell, JT.
Amazing.
And third, this isn't London.
I also love that they're frustrated with the fact that they never get to meet Orpheus's quote-unquote master either. That it's just like, oh, cool. This is just another thing that we don't get to do. Like, it really is Dr. Orpheus's show with these two sidekicks.
Yep. Yeah, and this is... I'm pretty sure this is when we first realized that they're not kind of... cool with just being sidekicks. Like, we're supposed to be equal parts.
Yeah, a triad.
Yeah. And this is when you find out Orpheus is a little bit homophobic. I guess this isn't the first time. There's actually been hints at his homophobia the whole way through. When we had the episode way back the first time we met, how am I forgetting his name? Killinger. When Venture thinks that he's gay, he's highly offended.
Oh, right.
And then we have here, he won't introduce the alchemist to his master because he's gay. Even admits it.
Yeah.
Was he being serious?
I don't know if he is being serious, but I do think that there is a weirdness there.
I think he's definitely got some underlying homophobia. They don't really do much with it, nor do they need to, but it's definitely in there as a character trait.
I don't know.
Well, why wouldn't... Like, what have you seen to the contrary? Because I have... I have all this evidence behind me.
I hadn't even thought of it.
Oh, yeah. It's not bothered me, but I've always been aware of it.
Interesting.
And then actually, this is one of the few episodes where I don't hate Pete White.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Although, it's funny, one of my notes about it is, has Pete White ever been called in to solve a computer problem and actually solved it and not just made it 10 times worse?
Oh, no, he's terrible at what he does. But, I love the fucking, like, the joke. And I don't know how deep to dive into this, because it gets a little weird. So, do he and Rusty jerk off together to Brock having sex?
Wait, what?
Because this
did I miss something?
When they're showing all of the screens that the cameras have, and then he's like, "Oh yeah, this place is really fun. Whenever Brock has a lady friend over, you get to." Never mind. And then he pushes a box of tissues away from the monitors. But yep. Before that, they're talking about he and Rusty spend a whole bunch of time in there.
Yep.
Oh boy, I did not catch that.
Yep.
That is so sad. How did you preface this with, I think this is the one episode where we don't hate Pete White?
I had this wonderful bait and switch in my head, and I wanted to see how far I could take it to... Because all I wanted to talk about was him and Rusty masturbating together, because that makes me laugh so much at the episodes that we will hopefully never see.
So gross.
But beyond that really weird part, I was serious. I actually don't think Pete White's annoying in this episode. I don't think he does anything that's particularly like... God damn, I hate Pete White.
Yeah. No, he does. Sure. He attempts to help.
Yeah. He shows up and then, you know, awkwardly outs their father as a chronic masturbator to his bodyguard, but whatever. Beyond that, he does just want to help everybody.
Yeah. And then, you know, helps the alchemist have one of his best lines.
Yeah.
Like, we're gone for 2 minutes to heat up some pizza rolls and we come back to World War III.
I love that his reasoning isn't, like, anything scientific. It's just, we're on dial-up here. We have time. Like, he might not be the smartest guy in the world, but he's still smart enough to know, like, these computers are old as shit. I'm pretty sure I have time to figure out what's going wrong.
Yeah, and worst case, we just need to find the phone line to cut, and we'll be okay.
Yeah, which Hank and Dean had already found, and I don't know why they didn't just point it out to him.
Because they're Hank and Dean.
Fair point.
Yep.
Let's see. What else have we missed? Oh, we haven't talked about, my God, this
Mother.
The underground people and their costumes, which have been so fucking weird. And if you're not paying attention, you missed like the one line that describes why they're all dressed so weird.
Yes.
And, like, it's one of those things, like, I think the first time, like, because I wasn't a huge fan of this episode, I kind of started spacing as the episode went on, and I never caught it. And then, on rewatches, I'm like, oh, they're all dressed like old school music videos. And as soon as you figure it out, it makes way more sense, because you've probably seen the majorities if you grew up in the 80s or 90s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
When I first saw the Firestarter guy, I was like, why is the guy from the Firestarter music video in this episode?
Yeah.
And then when they explained that they get, for some reason, the only channel they got was like VH1 Classics. Yeah. I was like, oh, this makes sense.
I also wonder if that was one of those things where, like, do we need to explain the joke? Like, is it still funny if we explain it, or is no one going to understand if we don't explain it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you really need to explain it.
I think you really need to explain it. And even if you didn't explain it, I mean, some people might not catch it.
Yeah, so. Like I didn't the first time, and I was always just kind of like, why were they all dressed so fucking weird? Yeah. And like, it just kind of feels like a really big reference to Planet of the Apes or Escape Mount, Beneath the Planet of the Apes, there it is, with the whole, like, the bomb worship thing, but this one didn't really worship a bomb, they just kind of had a bomb. But it did feel a little, samey to me.
That they pooped in,
yeah,
so that they could send it up to the sky, so that Jonas Venture could cleanse it.
This does bring up a weird question of who does the cleaning at the Venture compound?
Helper.
Is it just Helper? Because he has an entire rocket full of poo he has to clean up now.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's probably just Helper.
I would also imagine that sprinklers do a lot of that work in that area.
They're filled with acid. Yeah. It's a rocket. It's gonna take a while.
Venture compound.
Smells terrible.
Fair point. Is there anything else that we've missed so far that we'd want to talk about?
I mean, we didn't really talk about, like, Mother too much, but
no, because I've never
really not much to talk.
There's
about.
There's nothing there.
I know,
and it feels like there should be something there, and like there's nothing there, and then it's even like the tag of how they dealt with her was kind of boring.
It's kind of funny, you know.
I guess,
but that's kind of it.
Yeah, it definitely feels like this episode, I think, is the same problem as last episode, which I feel like is largely a lot of threads that, like, aren't as strong as other ones that they brought up in, say, past episodes or blah, blah. But specifically, it's just a lot of it kind of ends up going nowhere.
Yeah. Which is, like, it's fine. Like, like I said last week, I'm good with an evergreen episode. But having them back-to-back and having them both be sort of, eh.
Yeah.
It just, exactly. It's a real, like, especially because we just took 5 weeks off of recording. When we come back, it's like, it's really exciting to get back in Adventure Brothers. But then you get back and it's just like, oh, we're at the part in the season where you have to slam on the brakes. It's like, oof. A rough start back. And I think having that break makes these two episodes that much worse. So it's not really necessarily their fault, but we might be coming in a little colder because of that.
Exactly.
Because what's next week? Next week is, Tears of the Sea Cow, which is fucking hysterical. I love the next episode.
Me too.
And has a lot of history to it.
Yeah, and a lot of stuff in that will definitely come back. Yeah, next week's great!
Yep.
Damn it, this week.
And last
Damn
week.
It.
And last week. Oh yeah, then now you museum, now you don't. My God, yeah, the rest of the season. Solid, here on out.
Yeah, I mean, it's also like, it does make sense as to why they would try. Here's the thing. We always say this, and I do think that all three of us agree on this, is that I'd much rather have them try these new things rather than just kind of throw it out.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Because, I mean, how much of the stuff that we love was another one of these, like, hey, let's try this fucking silly thing and see if it works out.
Exactly.
Which started out the same way, and, like, this is just one of the ones that just didn't pan out.
One of my top five favorite characters of the show, maybe top five is a little strong, but one of my favorite characters in the show is Brick Frog. And he just started because they just needed a background character dressed up as a frog.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't come until way later, but I love Brick Frog.
That's the best stuff about this whole show.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, I totally 100% agree with you. I'd rather them try and fail for 4 episodes in a row than...
Exactly.
Than just rest on their laurels and just keep doing what they're good at, because what they're good at is trying stuff. So even if these two didn't really connect, they're still good episodes. And when we move in a second year until the funniest parts of the show, like, there are still parts of it that make me crack up.
For sure. And I also want to say one little thing, which is the tone of this episode has always stuck with me. I find this episode very queasy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think that's also kind of that's when I go back into Beneath the Planet of the Apes, because that movie has the exact same tone as this one, and this one, they both just kind of feel like, ugh.
Yeah. It's just gross.
Yeah. But let's move into our absolute funniest gut bust, whatever you want to call it, moment of the episode. I went first last week. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. And now I've got blue balls in my blood eye.
It's just an amazing one.
Just great. Just classic. Classic Jefferson.
I fucking love Jefferson.
Being
Twilight.
Jefferson. He's got a bunch in this episode.
He does.
But that's my favorite.
Oh my God, that's such a good one.
It's so good. Mine is Brian didn't like the tag at the end, but I really love the tag where she's just like, she wants to talk to Jonas Venture. They set up this thing. I'm talking about Mother.
Right.
They set up this thing where basically it's just Jonas on a video loop talking to her, which is what the people in the underground worshipped. But I just love where she keeps insisting on talking to Jonas. She gets Jonas, and then she's like, no, we need to talk about it. And he's like, today I want to talk about personal hygiene. And she just goes, oh, okay. And it's just like, she just gives up entirely. It's like, I like that bit. That's it.
I'll agree that part's funny. It doesn't really... Yeah, it doesn't really stick with me, though.
That's fair.
I'm trying to think.
I like it. I like that moment.
I like it. That's where I'll end. I like it. I don't love it. I like it. It's okay. But for my favorite moment of the episode, I don't... Again, it's not because the episode is making it funny. It's because Nick is in the episode, and it has to be when they walk in, and the Firestarter does his dance, and they walk up the aisle, and I just see Nick doing that dance.
It's me.
It's just Nick!
Little did we know, I mocapped that, and... They put it in.
Wow.
I've thought this since season 3 aired. Like, when I was friends with Nick fucking 10 years ago, and I saw this, and I'm like, holy shit, Nick's in this.
Yeah. I should go as him for Halloween.
You really
That's
should.
Such an easy costume. missed opportunities.
I mean, you've already done Bat Hank before, right?
Yes, I did. I did go as Hank as Batman. In a costume that, when I ordered it, I did not realize was a child's large. So
that's perfect.
That's even more Hank.
Yeah, oh, it was so Hank, and I wore it. I was like, "Fuck it, I've got nothing else to do. Let's do this."
I am the Bat.
Oh yeah.
All right, let's move into plugs. I'll go really quick because I went really long last week. Listen to After the Hype. Listen to a Dogs podcast, listen to Samwise, and listen to Demon Days, all part of the ATH network. Reach out to us at athpodcast@gmail.com or find us on Facebook. Just search After the Hype. That's everything for me. Nick or Graham, anything to plug?
No.
No, I don't have anything.
Perfect.
You had me there for a second, Nick.
I know. Is Nick going to talk about Assassin's Creed again?
No, I don't have any.
Cool. All right, great. So next week, Tears of the Sea Cow. It fucking has my favorite opening of the entire season, I think. Maybe. It's a good one. I know that much. All right. Bye!
Bye!